Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I'm going to call you filmmaker, but I have the multi-talented Greg Berman with me.
Hello.
All right, so you should probably listen to the podcast before this one, because the one before this was an interview with Greg where we talked about his film, She Used to Laugh, and we talked about the fact that he started as a magician, moved into stand-up. Stand-up led to acting and filmmaking. So we've got a renaissance person here.
All right, I'll take it.
Referred to us as jacks of all trades and master of none, which...
I think that's fair.
Fair, and I think it's a good way to be. I realize there's rewards in life for specializing, but it's really fun to just do a little bit of everything.
There's nothing... I think that each one is bolstered by the other, you know? I think that there's certain things I know about magic that help in my filmmaking and help with my stand-up and vice versa.
Excellent. All right, so this is a four questions episode, and normally that means I would have the filmmaker... Well, wait, I'm going to mention that She Used to Laugh played Film Invasion Los Angeles in 2021 and Sherman Oaks Film Festival in 2021... and took home a couple awards, including Outstanding Short Film Drama and Outstanding Screenplay for Drama. So, and that was for Greg Scripps. So I will always like to mention the awards. People should really... Also, bravo to you. I never said this before, but She Used to Laugh is an original fucking title, which, believe me, a lot of films I love that get submitted, that we show at the festival, have a title like Ghosted. And I'm like... You go to IMDb and there's 117 films now called Ghosted. So I apologize to everyone who named your film Ghosted. I really do. Your films are great. If they've been at our festival, it means they're great. But if someone typed in She Used to Laugh, they're only going to find your film.
I didn't even know that that was a thing. It's a line from the movie that felt like it resonates.
I know. It is the crux of the film, yeah. Right? But I am 99% sure that it is unique. So... Dear listener, type in She Used to Laugh. Find a way to watch it, even if you have to message Greg on Instagram.
Hit me up on Instagram. I'll send you the link. I just have to keep it private while I'm still figuring out where it's going to be.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so I've done that introduction, and now this is a four questions episode. And normally the four questions are three favorite films, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser known film that people should seek out. But, you know, we were shooting the shit in between podcasts of how we would do the four questions. And instead, what we're going to do is Greg is going to name three favorite films and then three favorite
comedians,
three favorite magicians,
and then three favorite actors,
in whatever order you want. So,
sure.
So this is perfect. You're going to show you the breadth of your interests.
Okay. All right. Well, I will start with... I'll start with three favorite films. So I have kind of a unique version of this because, and if you listen to the other episode, you'll know I'm actually an immigrant. So I wasn't born in America and I didn't come to America until 1998. And I come from an immigrant family. So my parents also, you know, don't know much about the pop culture of America before the time we got here. And neither do I, you know, because I got here in 2000 as a kid, and then I just grew up in that time. I didn't really spend a lot of time watching old classics because there was no one who really pushed me into it as much. So my three favorite films are probably just like, you know, they're just super contemporary and something that I'm sure, you know, I'm sure filmmakers would be like, yeah, this movie from like 2012 is one of your favorite films or something, because I'm sure everyone's like, oh, you know, I really like North by Northwest or South by Southwest. What is it called?
North by Northwest.
See, I didn't even know. I doubted myself on the title.
You doubted yourself, but you nailed it the first try.
Yeah, I know, right? This is what, that's classic Greg, right? Doubting yourself, but actually knowing the answer. So if I were to say my three favorite films, I would say in no particular order, I feel like when I saw Memento, that Christopher Nolan movie, it changed the way that I thought films could be. I watched it so many times trying to understand that U-shaped story arc and the way that it totally made sense that, you would leave the middle part of the story to the end. And it was such a unique and exciting way to tell a story that I watched it probably yearly for a while. Because it was just, and the color versus black and white, and the way that we didn't know everything, and the unreliable narrator was actually a big inspiration for She Used to Laugh, because I kind of used that same idea in She Used to Laugh. So, Memento. On the complete opposite side of the spectrum, I would say another one of my favorite films is Liar Liar with Jim Carrey. I love that movie. I watch that movie still to this day and laugh just as hard as I did. I think Jim Carrey is so funny in that movie. I mean, of course, The Mask and, you know, Ace Ventura classics, but Liar Liar really got to me because it was such a high concept idea. What if he couldn't lie? And the way that they executed it to make it feel so both realistic and slapstick, and it was kind of a commentary on the American judicial system and what that's like, and there was this heartwarming family drama part of it too. It was just so good, and I know that movie backwards and forwards. It's one of my favorites. And then honestly, I was trying to think of another, like, you know, big, I mean, look, I love Shawshank Redemption, but in my head, I was like, yeah, but what, you know, what do I really love? I think a newer movie, just to get a little bit more contemporary, Swiss Army Man. I really, really enjoyed the fact that Paul Dano could carry an entire movie with Daniel Radcliffe's lifeless body is unreal. And then the way that they wrapped it up at the end, oh, chef's kiss. Like it was a hour and a half fart joke that had the most incredible ending. And I was like, wow, I did not expect this movie to be as thoughtful by the end as it was. So, you know, it's hard. Cause I love Mrs. Doubtfire too. What a brilliant film. And so many other films are in my head right now. But I think I would say, like, when I'm recommending stuff, Liar Liar is a classic. I've always loved it. Memento, huge for me as a storyteller. And Swiss Army Man is in that same Memento world where you can, you know, I just really, really enjoyed how much they did with so little.
Yeah, it has that indie spirit, and it comes out of nowhere. Yeah, wonderful. Great choice.
Thank you. Great choices.
And I love the Liar Liar choice, honestly, because I know people are tempted to front, like, name. It's not the best films you've ever seen, by the way.
It's my favorite.
Yeah. And if there's something that you watch over and over and over and over and over, that's your favorite.
That's my favorite movie, right? Like, I know what happens. I know all the words to it, but I'm willing to keep watching it.
Yeah, yeah. When these questions get thrown at me, it's very difficult, obviously. But I'm going to share with you that I'm trying to figure out how to get Dirty Rotten Scoundrels on my list because I think that's one of I've watched that movie so many times.
I think
it's one of the funniest, smartest films ever made, and Steve Martin is
absolutely
is God to me. So good,
like, right?
You know, but Memento is also amazing. All these things are amazing. All right, so what are we going to do next? We're going to do
let's do comedians. I feel like that in the comedian space. When it comes to comedians, I'm a huge fan of Bo Burnham. I know I'm not alone in that. I think Bo is one of the most innovative comedians out there. You know, it's almost hard. I mean, you could call him a stand-up comedian because he does it all by himself, but it's more performance art. But that's what I love about his style, is that he blurs those lines. He doesn't define himself by the genre. He doesn't have to be a comedian. A stand-up comic. He is a comedian in the sense, all senses of that word. And that was so evident in his earlier stuff, like What and Make Happy, which I'll still watch once a year. And then the way he, you know, took all of that stuff that he had been doing and put it into Inside. And that was a global sensation. I mean, he, I feel like, single-handedly captured everyone's pandemic experience in one project, and it was unbelievable. And he did all of it by himself, which is such a thing that I respect as a person who does that. I mean, that's how She Used to Laugh was. was made. That's what I do. So I really respect Bo Burnham, and I think he's a brilliant genius. I also really love Eddie Izzard a lot. He is, and I think their pronouns is now they. I'm not entirely sure. I got to look that up. For a while it was he, but I think recently they changed it to they. But they are incredible. I love the style. They're one of the smartest people I have heard do stand up. They can take the most difficult socio-political concept and turn it into something so silly, and it's absurd, but it's thoughtful and it's satirical, and it's and they don't care if you're necessarily completely on board, because they're having a good time and that's what matters, and that expression is unmatched. And then I think for the other one, it's so hard because I love so many comedians, but I'm a huge fan of Gary Goleman. Gary Goleman is so funny. His special In This Economy, I watch all the time. In fact, funny story, I found Gary Goleman on Venmo and I sent him $20 because I thought it'd be really funny and I thought he would actually notice that, because who else would do that? So I sent him $20 and I told him just a small price to pay for the amount of times I've watched In This Economy. And he actually liked it and responded to it. I would love to meet Gary Goleman someday. I'm sure that's not that crazy. I know a lot of comedians who've worked with him. Gary, if you're listening, shoot me a message on Instagram. I would love to buy you lunch. I just think Gary is so good at the same thing, which is just to take one observation and make it wildly irreverent, go way beyond what anyone else would think, and just take it to the nth degree. And I think that's so fun.
For sure. Yeah. You certainly focused on three more creative, I think.
Yeah.
Comedians, people who challenge the medium and try to do original things
right.
with it.
And they're all contemporary, right? Like, I mean, I also love Richard Pryor. I love George Carlin. And if you listen to the previous episode, I'm a huge fan of Robin Williams and Lenny Bruce and all of these people who paved the way for comedy. But, you know, whenever people ask me for who my favorite comedians are and recommendations, I always like to stay current, because comedy is one of those things that it can age well and it can not age well. And I'm not saying any of those comedians didn't age well. I'm just saying it's always best to take in comedy of the time, because right now is the context when it should be listened to. I think listening to old stand-up comedy is a great way to learn where the art form came from, but it just doesn't have as much of that contextual funny relevance as it does now when you listen to someone who is talking about right now things. So that's why I always like to stay contemporary when I talk about comedians, because, you know, everyone knows Richard Pryor is amazing. Everyone knows Eddie Murphy was brilliant. Everyone knows all of these things. You can go find that somewhere else. Here's who's killing it right now.
For sure. All right. And I got a great treat from the universe this year when Eddie Izzard appeared on The New Kids in the Hall.
Oh.
I don't know if you know. He actually did a cameo. They let people who love Kids in the Hall, apparently they appeared on Kids in the Hall. And he's amazing in a sketch. And he's reading my favorite book of all time in a bathtub. And I'm like, Eddie Izzard reading my favorite book in a bathtub on Kids in the Hall?
It's a sign.
My whole world came together. All right. So number three, do you want to do... actors?
Let's do magicians.
Magicians.
We'll stay in my lane here. As far as magicians are concerned, this is one where I think I'm going to go old school, because I'm not as familiar with contemporary magic. And contemporary magic is also it's very different than it used to be, because magic used to be a lot more analog. You used to have to create items that helped you accomplish certain tricks. Analog, for lack of a better word. They weren't digital. But now, because of Wi-Fi and the integrative nature of certain things with the internet, you can make a lot of really crazy things happen with just voice to speech, voice to text. A prediction or something could be drawn on an iPhone somewhere in an audience that could be somehow mapped to something on stage because we have Wi-Fi. So magic has changed incredibly in the last, I would say, 5 to 10 years. So and I'm just not as familiar with them. I think one of the three magicians I shouldn't label is Derek Delgaudio. He is a very brilliant magician who did that In and of Itself special on Hulu. If you haven't seen it, highly recommend. It's kind of a one-man show, but he does a really cool, and it was a show that he ran in New York for a long time, and it was transformational for a lot of people. And you know, I highly respect it. It was a very creative way to use the space he had and what he did with it. If you can't tell, the theme with all of my choices is creative. I love a creative expression. Of course, David Copperfield. I have to name David Copperfield. I think that he is, you know, one of the greatest showmen alive. You know, he, for a while, he was the highest paid entertainer in the world because he would do, you know, 3 to 5 shows a week and get a gazillion dollars per show, and did that for a very long time. He's incredibly wealthy. I've heard that he's a little bit of a dick, so I don't know. I don't know if that's true. I've never met him, but it's possible. When you get that famous and that rich, I get it. And then the last magician, I don't know. This would be a tough one because I'm a big fan of Mark Wilson, who would be it's someone that I think the average person wouldn't know, but magicians all know, because Mark Wilson wrote a book called The Mark Wilson's Complete Guide of Magic. And it was a book that literally every child had. I have it. Everyone had this book. It was almost like the intro to magic book that if you went to college, you would buy. It was such a instrumental thing in the world of magic. And I actually got to meet Mark Wilson right before he passed away at the Magic Castle. And he signed that book, and that was momentous for me. So I had to give it to Mark Wilson. Although I do really like David Blaine as well. I think David Blaine is doing some pretty cool stuff, and he's kind of blurring the line between magic and just like cool human tricks that you can learn to do. So David Blaine is more of a wizard. He's more of a shaman.
He is, and there's elements of performance art with him.
100%, yeah.
And the endurance stuff is just, there's no trick there, right? It's endurance.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff. I mean, he like famously has that, you know, he's pierced his hand so many times that he's got scar tissue there, so now he can just do that and make it look like magic, but really he's just done this to his body enough times that he has changed the way the human body performs, which is such a crazy, I mean, that is magic, right? Who can argue with me? Isn't that magic? Not everyone can do that. I think it's pretty, you know, everyone else would have died. He doesn't. That's magic. So, but I think I'd say give it to Mark Wilson. I think Mark Wilson owns it.
Absolutely fair.
All right. And then the actors, three actors. Oh, this one's tough. I mean, I think I have to give one to Robin Williams. I mean, talk about a guy who could do it all. Mrs. Doubtfire was such a brilliant version of him being wildly laugh-out-loud hilarious and tear-jerking sad, you know? I mean, Good Will Hunting is a great example of the sad side of things. He was so sensitive. He was so vulnerable every time he was on screen, and he was just so himself, even though his main thing was voices. It was him doing all these different wacky voices, but it was just, it was beautiful. So I'm just such a big fan of him. I love Edward Norton quite a bit. I mean, I think that's not surprising. Everyone loves Edward Norton, but I think that he's got this magic to him, this seriousness, this sort of mystery. And he's kind of an unassuming guy. He's just kind of an average height, average build. You'd never really know he was, you know, crazy special in any way unless, But the way he conducts himself is so specific and so unique that I love it. I'm a huge fan of Edward Norton. And I think for the last one, I think I'm going to go with a wild card here and say Samuel L. Jackson. I love Samuel L. Jackson. I mean, talk about a guy who can command anything. I mean, you watch him and Samuel L. Jackson is the only man who could have made Snakes on a Plane worth anything. anyone else would have not done that right. Samuel L. Jackson did it right. And I've loved the evolution of his career. I love that he can go and play, you know, Nick Fury in the Marvel movies and be this kind of stoic kind of CIA or whatever, FBI, SHIELD operative, but then can go and be this kind of sillier, bombastic guy in other movies. I think that's great. And I also, in my head, I was juggling between him and, Jim Carrey would be, it's hard to put Jim Carrey as just an actor because he wasn't just an actor. He was so much more than that. But, you know, I love Jim Carrey. He's one of my favorites. So maybe I'd have to, he would fall in there somewhere as well. I don't know. Adam Sandler, maybe. This is the hard one. You know, they're all different.
You expand to entertainer, really, right? Because right. Yeah, Jim Carrey is undefinable. Just amazing.
Right. So somewhere in there. So I that was more than three, but you know, it's, you get it. You get the group.
The rules aren't strict.
The grouping. So yeah, I would say those are my tops.
All right. Well, there we got four questions answered.
We didn't
have to do it the usual way, which I think suits you anyway.
Great. That's how like it.
Let's do it. Let's do it the way that's best for you. You want to name a website and social media?
You can check out some stuff about me on gregberman.com, or you can follow me on Instagram or TikTok at Berman Comedy, BERMAN Comedy. I don't do that much on TikTok. I just started, but Instagram, I post quite a bit. So if you want to do that, feel free. If you want to shoot me a message, let's talk. I love meeting people.
Excellent. All right. And now I will get us out of here by mentioning, so this was the Discover Indie Film Podcast. Feel free to like and subscribe. And there's two other things I'm supposed to like, subscribe, something and something. I keep hearing them on other podcasts and I'm like, what are you supposed to ask people to do? Write reviews too? I can't remember. So anyway, if you want to learn more about this podcast, and there's actually a TV series on Amazon Prime Video that was born out of it, just go to discoverindiefilm.com and it's at DIFWINS on social media. I might have mentioned at the top, yeah, I did, that Greg's film won awards at Film Invasion Los Angeles and also had its theatrical premiere at Sherman Oaks Film Festival. Those are the two festivals of which I am the head programmer. So if you want to learn about Film Invasion Los Angeles that we hold every June, just go to filminvasionla.com and it's at Film Invasion LA on social media. And to learn about the Sherman Oaks Film Festival that we hold every November, just go to ShermanOaksFF.com and it's at ShermanOaksFF on social media. I won't name all the other crap I do, but if you follow those, you'll probably hear about it at some point. Thank you, Greg, for coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. This was fun.
Absolute pleasure. And thank you, everyone, for listening.